Yo. All right. I want to invite a special group, our Bethel kids. Would you give them a round of applause as they come forward? They have also taken a one-day offering. And so, kids, come on up. You can come right around here. And stand right up here, guys, right up here up front.
That's a lot of kids.
You know, we could use some leaders if anybody else is interested in helping. Come on in, guys. Just spread out on the stage. Man, wonderful. Wonderful. These kids brought in $399. And 29 cents. All right, kids, go ahead and place your offering in the front right there. Just send. Let's give one more big round of applause as you walk off the stage. We'll go right back this way. Nicely done. And head on off, guys. I mean, they're going to be up here as long as you clap for them, so give them silence. Nope, nope, don't clap for them. That's only going to encourage them to stay longer. All right, one more time for our kids. Awesome job, awesome job. They did great. We were going to try to get up during the video, and we got up here a little late because we were having lots of fun downstairs. All right, I'm going to try not to trip on these. But church, we got an incredible group of kids, and they have a generous heart. They love, love, love to give. I can think of one of our youth students who brought in their little box, $250, more than $250, which does set an alarm off for our youth pastor who says, whoa, 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 where'd you get this money? I better talk to your parents. Make sure this is on the up and up. But Pastor Daniel did some investigating and got the full story. Turns out, this student was saving money to buy a VR headset. I'm going to do it without crying. They went to the mall. They were looking to buy, for whatever reason, decided, well, I'm not sure I'm ready to buy that today. And when they got back to the car, said, I think God wants me to give this money to the One Day to Feed the World offering. I mean, pretty cool. I talked to this student who didn't even want to talk about it on Wednesday night, but I took him aside and said, hey, man, that's really cool. And they said, you know, I was just being faithful to what God told me to do. We have a bright future, church. We have a bright future, and our kids are leading the way. So thankful that Pastor Daniel has been doing a good job making sure our kids have a generous heart. Church, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We don't even put the verse up anymore because you should know it. We've been teaching on it all year. Unless you're brand new, and then I really apologize for what I just said. That's maybe hitting you for the first time. You may have just heard that. It is on a giant poster right outside those doors, though, in the lobby. It is our theme for the year that we are a light to our world. How many of you noticed our sign out there? It says Jesus in those really cool letters. I have loved this idea. Every time somebody shines their light, they've ministered to another person, they've shared their love of Jesus with somebody, they've done something, served another person, they can go turn one of those light bulbs and turn it on. It looked pretty much full today. I know we've already reset it once. I bet we're resetting it again. Let's try to fill that thing up every single weak. Because you are the light of the world. And a city on a hill should not, cannot be hidden. We are meant to shine, church. Can you say amen? The truth is, that board was not filled up by the pastoral staff. That board was not filled up. Those bulbs weren't turned by every missionary we support. They were filled up by you because you were shining your light. What I love about being a Christian is that there is no bench. This is a sports analogy. I don't want to lose any of you. But maybe you have played a sport which involved only a certain number of athletes getting to compete at one time, and maybe you found yourself sitting and watching the game. That is not what being a Christian is all about. We all get to be on the field. And we all get to compete, which I hope sounds equally awesome and scary for you. Knowing that it's not Pastor Ben's responsibility, it's yours, it's mine, it's all of us together. Will you pray with me, church? Let's pray as we get going. Lord, thank you for lighting up our lives. Thank you for taking us out of darkness and into your wonderful light. We want to reflect your glory to our world. We want to reflect your goodness and your love. Help us to do this today and every other day. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we all get to be a part of the game. A verse, 1 Peter 2:9. Says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. If I had my holy water, I would commission you right now. Commissioned, you're commissioned, you are now a royal priest. You have been grafted in to the holy nation of God. You are a part of God's family. This verse was not just written for the apostles, the 12 disciples of Jesus. This verse was not just written for pastors or for pious Christians or for Ned Flanders. This verse was written, if you don't even worry about it if you don't know that. This verse was written for all of us who are a part of God's family. Let me read it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You have been commissioned. Now, I'm not saying you can claim that you're a pastor on your taxes. So you might get in trouble if you start doing that. But you are in the game. You are not on the bench. You are not meant to watch. You are meant to shine. Now, some, they like to come to church and they like to watch. I came to church as a junior higher, and I watched for probably 2 years before God did something amazing in my life my freshman year. I get that. But you were not meant to just watch. You were meant to be a part of what is happening, to be on the field playing the game of life. The truth is, we're not done shining, church. Our world still feels pretty dark. I asked a question last month when I was still teaching on this topic of how are we doing? How are we shining? Because the world still feels pretty dark to me. How are you shining? How are your relationships? The people that you get to see often. Our state, Oregon, can feel dark at times. Our city, our valley, can feel dark at times. Our schools feel dark at times. We're meant to light the world. We're meant to be a light to our world. The good news for us, after Peter wrote these verses saying, you're all now commissioned, you all get the job, he went on to give us very good advice. He says in 1 Peter 2:15, "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." I mean, I heard one amen. That's a pretty good verse. "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." The church has no shortage of critics. Christians have no shortage of people pointing at them, saying that they're stupid or dumb or backwards. Sometimes that's for good reason. The church has lost a lot of its influence here in the United States, here in Western culture, because we stopped taking care of people. In large part, we stopped looking out for the poor, the widowed, and the orphan. James 1:27, written by James, a brother of Jesus. We do not know why Joseph is never really talked about, but it is largely believed that he died and that Mary... I don't know why it makes you want to tear up thinking about an orphan, but I guess I do know why. But James very well may have been raised as an orphan. He says this, "Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Do you want to shine, church? We got to start taking care of the people around us. My mentor has a guy by the name of Jim Weidman, lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he has told me many times, people don't really care what you have to say until they know how much you care. You will be shocked how much good deeds can silence a person, a critic. How generosity can silence someone opposed to Christians, to Christianity, the church, to Jesus. One of the ways we shine brightly, church, is by being generous, by giving. The church shines brightly when we are generous with our time, our talents and abilities, and with our money. Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, I just said generous with our money. We're going to pass the offering right now. My dad always hates that. He was always upset when they passed the offering in churches. But when we are generous, we reflect God's character. If anyone needs a reminder of just how generous God is, remember that he even let you into his family. And some of you know you should be very thankful for that. because that's the only reason you're in. That's the only reason all of us are in, right? God is not stingy when it comes to loving his children. He is lavish, abundant with his love for us. We, in turn, are to be generous. Generous with each other. Generous with our world. We are to reflect the love of God. It is really hard to cover up someone shining brightly when they are generous. It is really hard to criticize somebody who is generous. Let's shine brightly. Of course, our best example of this is Jesus himself. Time and time again, we see Jesus seeing the hurts of the people around him, pausing, seeing it, and doing something about it. He had compassion for the people that he saw who needed help. I want to read a familiar story. Many of you know from Matthew chapter 14, but in order to read it, I do need to set it up a bit. So Jesus is teaching. He's out ministering. He has his disciples, and they're really rolling. This is in that 3.5-year period of his ministry time. He has just gone to his hometown. So he's ready. He's ready for a homecoming, ready to, you know, have a home run back with all the people he knows. I'm sure people that are near and dear to his heart. Jesus sums it up this way in Matthew 13, 57 and 58. He says, "But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home.'" All the pastors said, "Amen." "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." Certainly would have been, I imagine, disappointing to come back to where you actually know the people. You've been raised. You know these people. And very little happens. Very few miracles. A lot of critics. A lot of offense, the Bible says in chapter 13. They were offended by Jesus. Leading into the story I'm going to read, this is right after in 14, Jesus gets the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded by King Herod. So he's coming from his hometown. The next thing that happens is John the Baptist gets his head cut off. And then Jesus receives the news. I'm going to start here in verse 13 of chapter 14. Yeah, verse 13 of chapter 14 of Matthew. Happened. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. That makes sense to me. I can understand why Jesus said, "All right, I'm going to shut down the healing ministry. I'm going to shut down the teaching ministry." He was ministering at the time. And it says he withdrew privately to find a safe place, a place where he could be and to regroup. However, there's more to verse 13. It also says, "Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns." It is very easy for me to put myself in Jesus' shoes here. I can feel the anger, the disappointment that would rise up in me if I needed a break. And yet everyone was hounding me and trying to get my attention. Don't these people know that Jesus needs a minute? Don't they understand he needs a break? I researched, I looked, I read this over and over again this week, and I had a very profound takeaway. I am super glad that I am not Jesus. Because that is not how he responded. But even more powerfully, and oof, kind of hurt a little bit, God reminded me how far my own heart was from the heart of Jesus. that I am a very long way from thinking, believing, and being like Jesus is. Because it goes on to say, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. At a spot where I would have probably said, let's just turn the boat around. Let's back up slowly. Jesus said, let's land this thing and let's go. These people need help. I am not going to close my eyes to the suffering that is happening around me. I want to have that level of generosity with my own life. I want to be able to shine in situations like that. Now, Jesus had the Holy Spirit working in him, and I know if I were to do that, I would need the Holy Spirit working in me. The crazy part is, he's not done. I haven't even got to the miracle yet. It goes on. I'm just going to read this longer portion here. In Matthew 14, 15 through 21, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. Jesus replied, they do not need to get away. Give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is one of the few miracles, and there maybe is a little more than a few, but that is recorded in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell this story. Jesus saw the needs of the people around him, and he did something about it. Man, I'm reminded of thinking of James and being a doer of the word. Not just hearing the word, but being a doer of God's word. Jesus lives this out. So much of the Gospels, those first 4 books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are accounts of Jesus' generosity to us. That he gives so willingly and abundantly. Church, open your eyes. Do not shut them to the hurts in our world, to the suffering that is going on. Believe me, I know the temptation. It's hard. Because it's so much easier to try to pretend they don't exist and to pretend that people aren't hurting and to just ignore it. But that's not how we shine. That's not how we play the game that God has given us to play. We get to shine for our world. I want to close with this one more thought. It's my favorite part of the whole story. And it's actually only in John does he give us this tidbit. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish came from a boy. Which is awesome for so many reasons. One, it showed the disciples were already beginning to take inventory because they knew God could do something awesome. I want to be like that. But what I really love is that Jesus took this woefully inadequate offering and did a miracle. An offering that was so pathetic, It had no chance to feed the need. But yet Jesus accepted it. The boy offered it. And the miracle happened. Church, today, we get to give woefully inadequate offerings to the needs that lay before us. Don't be discouraged by that, though, because Jesus can do a whole lot with the little we're able to give. In fact, that's when he does the miraculous. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for today's offering. But I'm also realizing that it's going to be difficult. Being generous is not always easy. Most of us are familiar with the Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge. We know we don't want to be like Scrooge and hoard all our money. We know that giving is good. But all too often, the actual practice of giving feels a little bit opposite, counterintuitive to how we feel like we should act, because our desire is to keep it for ourselves. This is a tension between what we should do and what we actually do.
So when we think of generosity, we think of being generous ourselves. The question becomes, how can we effectively care? How can we effectively give to others in our busy, sometimes expensive, and at times difficult lives? And it's easy for us to look past the needs around us because our own lives, taking care of our own families. If you have a family to take care of, it takes so much mental attention, emotional, spiritual, and financial attention. And we've already heard from Pastor Ben that when we are generous, we shine and we reflect the light of Christ. And it's a part of being a light to our world. And I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs. And remember this when you read the book of Proverbs, okay, that it should be understood as general principles, Proverbs, okay? They're not a promise, a specific promise. It's a general biblical principle, okay? So it presents biblical truths that in general are usually true. That's the definition of a proverb, okay? And so Proverbs 11... verse 24 and 25 says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." So according to this proverb, it's not a matter of looking out for ourselves first. The spiritual principle says that when we give freely to others, then we will receive. And not only are we to give freely, but this proverb also says that when we don't give freely and we withhold from others what we should be giving, and that's different for each individual circumstance and person, in the end, that person will suffer want. These are general principles. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So this passage doesn't say that we don't take care of our own needs, because we do. That's proper, and we should do that. But when we are worried about ourselves, we're worried about our wants, even our needs, we are neglecting this principle of looking to the needs of others. And oftentimes the spiritual, the biblical viewpoint is upside down to what the world tells us to do. There are ads that say, buy this product because you're worth it. There are songs like the Frank Sinatra tune, I Did It My Way. Okay. So quite honestly, I want to kind of talk about this just a little bit. I love Frank Sinatra's music. I think he was a wonderful singer, just so good and so original, just a lot of songs I like. My Way is really a wonderful song in some ways. But it's all about how he did life his way. And he kind of lets it go at that. He did it. He did it. Okay? Now, Mr. Sinatra did not write this song. This was a song written by Paul Anka. You guys remember Paul Anka? Anybody? Yeah, sure, sure. Having My Baby. Not my favorite song, but it was a big hit. Anyway, he wrote a lot of songs. But he wrote this song, and he wrote it thinking of Frank Sinatra. That was the impetus behind this song, the idea. So here are some of the lyrics to My Way. Here we go. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. And I'm going to skip down to the bridge. It says, for what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Now, there's things in this song that can move you, obviously, because this was a huge, huge hit, and you still hear it around today. But as a believer in Christ, there are some lyrics, as you could tell as I read through it, that do not jive with the Bible, okay? And because it's about what I can do, and I stood strong, and it's my way, okay? And I did it. I did it. Now, I've often thought that another song that's in the same style, I've always thought this, and it came out shortly after My Way. And the first time, the first time that I really heard this song, I was struck by it because it had the same kind of style as My Way. And it's a song written by Andre Crouch. Wonderful, wonderful artist. And it was written, in 1972. And it's called To God Be the Glory. And here's the lyrics. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And let me live my life. Kind of sounds like the other song, but what's the next line? Let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary for the things he has done. To God be the glory. It It's not about us. It's not about me. And so you have these two songs that have a similar style. And, I need to say this. To Sinatra's credit, I read this and I thought, well, I need to say this. His daughter Tina said later in his life he didn't like that song because he said it was too self-serving. So good for him. Yes. But you see, the one is oftentimes what we encounter in our world, you know, to do it my way. I can do this. You can just do it. You just get enough gumption. You can do this, you know. But the Bible talks about that God will move through us, and we submit to him. We kneel to him, and then he will do beautiful and wonderful things through us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. To God be the glory. So how does being a generous person shine a light to our world? Because, again, it's not about us and what we can gain. It's about other people and what God wants to do. And by the way, the scripture I read says that you will be blessed as well. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Now, that's different from the world. It's not my way. It's so that God gets the glory. And so that is our heart in giving today. We want to reflect God and shine so the world may know that Jesus is alive and that we lift up our head and look around and care about others. So God gets the glory. I was golfing the other day with a really nice guy. Really like him. And I'm just golfing with him. And I've golfed with him a few times. He found out I was a guitar player. And he goes, well, what did you play? I played rock and roll. He goes, oh, okay. And he goes, you're a pastor. And I go, yeah, I am. I go, well, that's okay. And he's like, oh, well, what... How did you change from that lifestyle? Because I told him I did drugs and everything. And he goes, how did you change? So I thought, I'm going to get a turn a light bulb on out here. So I told him my story. And he asked several more questions. And we walked up, and somebody else kind of heard it, and they asked me a question. And... I just began, as I'm reading this, I didn't plan on talking about this, but, you know, when you tell somebody your story, and we're all about telling people God's stories these days, that's what we want to do, that's what we're being a living witness on Wednesday nights. Wonderful. Today's about giving, yes, and being a witness to the world through giving and the effects that can have. But it just made me think, as I'm telling this guy my story, I'm being really careful that I'm not talking about, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. No. He wanted to know, what made you change? I said, I met God. He says, what do you mean? I said, I prayed a prayer, and I go, it wasn't just a good idea. I go, I met God, and he changed me. I go, there's been ups and downs in my life since then, but he changed me, and that's why I don't live like that anymore. And he just kind of looked at me. He's really thinking. So anyway, pray for that. I'm not going to mention his name, but a really nice guy. Pray for him, and that'd be great. So we give for God's glory. We give that others may live. We give that other bellies will be filled in this instance and thus be able to hear the gospel of life through Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard to hear the gospel if a kid has no food and is hungry. We give today that those in tragic natural disasters like recent tornadoes in the Midwest, They will receive food, water, and help to get them back on their feet. It's not about us, it's about others, that the world may know that Jesus lives. Shine, as Pastor Ben said, Jesus, shine. Light up our world, Jesus, through our giving. I want to say something. What we have been talking about, and we've done this for quite a few years, taking a break at a few spots, but we want to give, and if you're online, this includes you too, we want to give the equivalent of one day's wage, however you need to figure that out. Some will give more than that, and some will give less. And I want to say, if you do give less, don't feel guilty. You give what the Lord asks you to give. I know some of you have been in some dire straits, and I just want to say that. But remember, as we're giving, I feel really confident about this organization. They do a tremendous work. I feel privileged to know several of the leaders in this organization, Convoy of Hope. And so we're going to do something a little different today. We haven't been passing around the bags for quite some time. You give by either online, which you certainly can do today, or in the next coming days. That's totally fine. And remember, put one day, okay, one day, not just Convoy of Hope, but one day. And everybody say one day. One day. Okay. So then... yeah, so then you can also give. You can give on our website. You can give on our app, and if you want to write a check, you can do that as well, because that is exactly what my wife has done. Is there something in here? I don't know. If you want to give cash, you can do that, but just write on that envelope, you know, one day, okay? And love to see us be able to bless Convoy of Hope, who in turn are going to bless so many other people. It's going to be a great thing. I want to show one more video. If you're going to write a check, you can do that during the video or whatever you might want to do. You can even give on your phone right now if you want. You can give in the next few days. It's no big deal. But anyway, we're going to show this video.
All over the world, there are empty plates at the table and countless empty seats. In the famine, in the flood, in the aftermath. A full table is a fantasy. When you are eating nothing, going nowhere, when every road is a dead end and every cupboard is bare, a full plate is a fable. Then suddenly, love arrives. Faith gets to work, and hope rolls up its sleeves. When hope sets the table, seeds become sprouts, become gardens, become fields. Future sinks its roots into the good earth. When hope sets the table, girls grow into women with the power to chase their dreams, define their destinies, and weave their love into communities too strong to unravel. Hope sets the table, bright eyes shine with confidence that comes from a full belly and a sharp mind sparkling with grand dreams and electrifying visions. Convoy of Hope has worked tirelessly to build that table, and millions have taken a seat. Now we ask you to join us, to put your love to work, put your faith on the line, share the hope that's in your heart. So please, pull up a chair. Let us break bread together and let hope set the table for millions more.
Hello, hello. Echo, echo. So I was hoping my worship team would be all behind me, and they are not. So, and I have a short cord. I was looking out, trying to give, you know, hand signals. I don't know what they would be. But, so we're going to give. We're going to give, and the ushers looks like they are ready to go. And I want us to pray over this offering. I'm just praying that we give generously today. Again, what you feel like the Lord would want you to give above your tithes and offerings. This is a separate offering. So would you pray with me? Lord, we just give you thanks and praise, honor, and glory. We give you the glory. Lord, take this offering. May it be pleasing to you. And Lord, we pray that just like you did with the feeding of the 5,000, as Pastor Ben shared with us, that you would multiply it over and over and over again, running over. We just thank you for that, Lord, and we love you so much today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.